Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 1725 of Radio Free Redoubt, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and my name's your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. I hope you guys had a blessed week. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all of your support and your prayers. I can't tell you how much that really means. So, we've got something special that I'm going to share with you from God and Country tonight, right after the news and commentary. And I want to let you know that we are working hard behind the scenes. You've not been forgotten. If you have signed up to volunteer as an initiating station, we are getting all of that together. You'll be hearing from me very soon. But there's a lot going on, we're really looking forward to this year's exercise. It's a nationwide disaster preparedness scenario-based exercise with heavy emphasis on communications. In fact, if you don't have emergency communications, you won't have situational awareness because it is a grid down, conventional communications down, disrupted event. So, in that type of an environment, the only way you'll be able to know what is going on is if you have unconventional communications. And most of our members of AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, are licensed, federally licensed amateur radio operators. And there's the only thing amateur about them is that they don't get paid for it and do it as a living, but they are every bit as professional and skilled and knowledgeable than any other radio operator in disaster or emergency preparedness. Amazing group of men and women. So they are going to be taken to the airwaves. There will be preloaded traffic, what we call preloaded traffic. Volunteer initiating stations will have a piece of the puzzle that they will inject into the scenario at a specific time, according to the instructions that they are given, that will help paint a picture for everyone that's involved. I'm going to talk about more of that toward the end of the show in segment four. But first, let's get down. Oh, before the news and commentary, the very popular article that we posted this week, Training Courses for Patriots, for you to learn your heritage, for you to learn your American, Christian American history. Representative Matt Shea provided a list of materials with links to several resources that I've talked about off and on over the last past several years. But he put them in a list mostly in response to someone's question about how do we reach the youth? You know, what tools do we have available? And so he mentioned several of them. We've put that in a list that he provided, and we've added some more as well. Somebody posted a comment saying, hey, you know, a lot of these cost money. You know, what about free stuff? Well, hold on a minute. You're investing in the future of free America and restoration of a nation. Now, there are some great free resources, and we are going to be adding those, like Hillsdale College. They have free courses on the Constitution, American heritage, and so on, governance. Lots of great materials. We will continuously be updating this and adding those resources, including the free resources. But you know what? A lot of these materials have taken a tremendous amount of time and energy and research to put them together to make them available to you. So these organizations are worthy of your support. And if it's $19.99 for a DVD and a workbook that takes you through the Constitution and puts it in a Christian or scriptural context, so you learn the truth about your heritage Is that not worth rewarding somebody $20 for the time that it took to put that together? It's such a small contribution, really. So I know we get spoiled on the internet because we want stuff that's free. We want free stuff, you know, free apps, free this and that. We squawk when there's an app on our smartphone for $1.99. You know, it should be 99 cents. It's $1.99. Come on. For what you get out of it, support them. So anyway, that's all I got to say. But there's some great, great resources there. All right, let's get down to the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series, 10-book series about the partial collapse and the rebuilding of our economic system and our society and political systems. Great story, and that's available at 299days.com. The global domination world system of peace strikes again. This time it's a teenager in London charged with acid attacks, spraying acid on people driving by on apparently on mopeds. They've arrested him, but they won't release his name because he's a juvenile. We must protect him. But now the police and the government are saying that they need to crack down. Amid mounting public concern, the British government said it is considering increasing sentences for acid attacks to a maximum of life. Well, because I don't know what's the sentence there now for throwing acid on somebody and disfiguring them, maiming them for the rest of their life. Was it 15, 20 years, 30 years? If we make it a maximum of a life sentence, well, that should deter it. Nothing to say that it's legal now. I mean, it's already illegal. You're already going to prison for decades if you do it. But let's try to curb that and make it a life sentence. That'll be a real deterrent, right? And in 2015, there were 261 cases of attacks with corrosive liquids. That was in 2015. Now, 2 years later, with more Muslimification of London and England, that has risen from, well, the figures from 2016 are 454 cases. So from 2015 to 2016, in 1 year difference, there was 261 versus 454 corrosive liquid attacks in London. 454 attacks in a city of somebody throwing acid on someone else. Of course, we know the Mennonites are the ones that are doing it, right? Unbelievable. And of course, that's not the only increase in measures they're talking about implementing. They need to drop the hammer. They need to, how did they put it? The headline says that the teen charged in London acid attack as UK plans crackdown. So they're going to crack down. Let's just let them all in here and then we'll just implement more and more stringent laws. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, this was great. The leftist darling, French President Macron, really stuck his foot in his mouth saying Africa's main problem is 7 to 8 children per woman. So he says, when countries still have 7 to 8 children per woman, you can decide to spend billions of euros, but you will not stabilize anything. Now, he's talking about Africa's problems as if France doesn't have its own. And the problem in France is the same problem in Africa. It's Islam. But we can't say, well, and of course, remember, he's a globalist. And the same mindset, this, you know, population, overpopulation cult, this group of elitists that believe that 500 million people is the optimum sustainable number of humans to live on Earth. So a lot of people got to go, right? Except for the elite. Well, let's bring it back over to the United States. Fox News exposing Southern Poverty Law Center branding some peaceful groups as hate groups. Now, remember, a hate group, by definition, is one that promotes and practices hatred, hostility, or violence toward members of a race, ethnicity, nation, religion, gender, gender identity, or sexual orientation. That's their definition of hate. Well, who are these people with the hate practicing or promoting hatred and hostility and violence toward other people? Well, it's the Family Research Council. The Family Research Council, nonprofit, charitable, conservative Christian group, and lobbying organization. It says its mission is to advocate faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. So in other words, they take a stand against a transgender bathroom bill allowing men to go into a women's locker room, and now they are full of hate and promoting violence. They are a hate group, according to the SPLC. The American Family Association, also a nonprofit group that promotes fundamentalist Christian values and opposes same-sex marriage, pornography, and abortion. Tisk, tisk, tisk. What the hate? American College of Pediatricians, socially conservative advocacy group of pediatricians and other healthcare professionals, founded in 2002 as a protest against the American Academy of Pediatrics' support for adoption by homosexual couples. Family Research Institute, World Congress of Families, Liberty Council, all these conservative groups. And there's another story. Now, ABC News, remember, you keep repeating the lie often enough, people will begin to believe it. That's what the socialist Nazi Goebbels said. Actually, several tyrants have said this throughout history, but it's true. Now, ABC News is helping with the propaganda, delivering the news headline, "Christians who defend religious liberty are a hate group." Apparently, this is what this headline says. "Christians who defend religious liberty are," quote, "hate group." The Alliance Defending Freedom is demanding a retraction and an apology from ABC News after reporters smeared one of the nation's most respected religious liberty law firms as a hate group. ABC News reporters Pete Madden and Aaron Galloway wrote a scathing report on a speech that the Attorney General Jeff Sessions delivered behind closed doors at the Summit of Religious Liberty at the Ritz-Carlton in California. So they're all upset because they won't release his remarks. So they just make up their own, showing their true colors. So what else we got here? One of the FBI agents that was indicted in the killing of Lavoy Finicum has hired a high-profile D.C. attorney. So they are continuing to press forward with charges against the FBI agents who pulled the trigger and then tried covering it up, lied about it. It's a crime being committed. I'm not sure what the crime was. Well, the FBI said, as far as they were aware, at the time that the Coalition of Western States delegation went into Burns, Oregon, to find a peaceful resolution to that standoff while it was still going. It wasn't even a standoff. It was just the occupation. They were camping there at the refuge. Directly, pointedly asked, what crimes have they committed? And the FBI agent said he wasn't aware of it. He wasn't sure of any. He'd have to check. And the state police said at this time, they have not committed any crimes. So I don't know what the traffic stop was even about. Do you have no probable cause, apparently? Well, the crime that was committed was the attempted murder by the FBI agents by firing multiple rounds at him and then covering it up and lying about it in the investigation. So all kinds of obstruction of justice taking place there. So we will see. We'll watch the facts just lay out, and hopefully justice will be done. From Redoubt News, always doing a great job. Go and check out redoubtnews.com for the latest news that affects you in the American Redoubt and as God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. This is the headline. Another UN land grab. Are you ready? So this caught my attention. multiple federal agencies were tasked with implementing this initiative through interagency coordination. One section of the initiative was to, quote, build upon state, local, private, and tribal priorities for the conservation, red flags, for the conservation of land, water, wildlife, creating corridors and connectivity across these outdoor spaces, and determine how the federal government can best advance those priorities through public-private partnerships and locally supported conservation strategies. So what this initiative really did is put the United Nations non-governmental organizations in charge. Federal agencies created 22 large landscape conservation cooperatives across the United States. The Great Northern LLC was discussed in previous articles that they've posted, and how it's affecting Southeast Idaho, specifically Island Park. But it also extends into the central and northern Idaho. The Great Basin takes the rest, covering southern Idaho as well as parts of Oregon, Nevada, Utah, and even into California, driven by the UN. And this wildlife conservation corridor essentially covers the American Redoubt and then northward into Canada. You'd have these free and open spaces for these wildlife to have a corridor to be able to travel. And what it is a land grab. So, something to keep an eye on there. And please do so by visiting redoubtnews.com as they bring you updates to that story. And they keep an eye on things for you. All right. This is Radio Free Redoubt. And when we come back, I'm going to reintroduce you to Damon Friedman, active duty military veteran, currently on active duty, actually. And he has a ministry, powerful ministry, and he has a powerful story and a testimony. So I'm going to let you listen to that, share that with you from God and Country for those of you who were not there. Stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State, there are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's unconstitutional to split a state. Well, that's simply ridiculous. Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution says that no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So all it takes is a vote of the House and Senate at both the national and state level to make it happen, and it's happened before. 1792 Kentucky, 1820 Massachusetts, 1863 West Virginia, and this is not to mention on the world stage, Catalan, Scotland, Ireland, and Brexit. You see, reestablishing boundaries to better represent the values, traditions, cultures, and customs of a people is actually a very normal phenomenon and the proper way to protect and preserve those beliefs for generations to come. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
Welcome back to segment two here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. They are helping patriots get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt, specifically the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. If you, that's where you are planning on moving, or that's what you want to research and look into, let them help you. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Now, I want to share with you a great presentation that really resonated with me in my heart and in my soul. This is a combat veteran, I believe Lieutenant Colonel Damon Friedman, who has a ministry reaching out to and helping veterans, specifically with PTSD, but any kind of issues, helping them rebuild. But he knows how to talk from a warrior's heart to the hearts of other warriors. And this is something that we all need to hear. Christian patriot warriors, sit up straight and listen to this message. We talked quite a bit offline and really connected with the guy. I love what he's doing. I love his message. And this needs to be heard everywhere. He's a combat controller with the Air Force, former Marine. Now he's a combat controller. And just a really, really neat guy. He and his wife, both, they were at Marble for the God and Country celebration. So I'm going to let him take away segments 2 and 3, and then we'll wrap up talking a little bit about T-Rex. So sit back and enjoy and take notes.
And we also have talked a little bit about what it means this 4th of July, declaring our independence, and just the struggle that our forefathers had gone through in order to be the America that it is today. So what I decided to do is I need to recap, because half of you guys weren't even here yesterday. But you see, I'm not just going to recap, I'm going to expound. Because there's meat. There's something very special that whenever you walk away from here, understand one thing. You've got the physical war that's going out there, and you've got the spiritual realm. Now, we've had plenty of individuals here, great leaders, true warriors, to talk about what's happening physically. But I'm here for you to get hyper-focused like a sniper on top of a mountain looking through your scope. To be that focused on what it really means God's calling in your life.
That first you would have the heart of a warrior, and then you would have the courage and the boldness to actually engage the way God has called you. Because if you don't engage the way God has called you, you're going to die. And it's real. So, a little background. I guess many of you guys know. I don't know. Maybe half of you ladies have William Wallace's picture up on the side. I don't know. Up somewhere. Maybe you walk in and you've got his picture. Many of you guys know that this guy was a great patriot back in the 1400s. And he was a Scottish patriot. I think you know that. And I was just thinking about yesterday's quote, and I remember the state representative also was talking a little bit about Sun Tzu, and I'll tell you, I'm a fan of Sun Tzu. If you don't have The Art of War, shame on you. It's a little book, and I highly recommend that you purchase it for your reading. It doesn't take long. But I kind of want to go back, because this is essential for my message of war. And I see William Wallace, and he's preparing for battle, and he's looking, and he's leading these band of rebels. They were just absolutely rugged. I mean, they're nothing special. They're just a bunch of people gathering together. But they're coming together for a cause. And I remember this one scene when William Wallace, and he says, and he's introducing himself, you know? I mean, because everybody thought the guy was like, what, 10 foot tall, right? And he's just showing up, and he was a little bit taller, just a little taller than me. He had a horse. Obviously, he was taller then. But he's sitting there and he's introducing himself. And I love the way that he starts, the level of confidence and the level of boldness. And he says, I am William Wallace. And I see before me an army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. And you have come to fight as free men. And free men you are. And then he asked the question that literally resonates throughout all of history. It was righteous then, and it is righteous now. And this is the question that he asked. What will you do with your freedom? What will you do for your freedom? And then he says, because he didn't end there, will you fight for it? Nah. Now that is the question of a lifetime. What are you going to do with your freedom? And are you going to fight? But I love the next scene here. Because when he asks such a powerful and profound question, there's a man, one of the guys who's there, one of the rebels, and he says, and it's a soldier looking across the battlefield. And he answers, fight against that? No, we will run and we will live. And that sounds exactly like the cowards in Numbers 14 that I talked about yesterday, the 10 leaders, respected individuals in their community, selected by the general Moses to go out and recon the area. And they came back, and the only thing that they could consider was their numbers, their strength, and what they could bring to the fight, not remembering the promise of God, that regardless of the challenges, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the enemy, regardless of what's out there, that God is with you. And it's so amazing how people always forget. You get into a conflict and it's so overwhelming, and you forget that the God of the universe that created the constellations, the mountains, the skies, and the stars, and everything that you see around you is literally right here waiting to honor you. And all you have to do is believe in him and be faithful and to fight for your freedom. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what Braveheart was saying then is so true today. So today's the 4th of July. Well, not yet, but this is the 4th of July weekend. And that's what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about what our forefathers did and why they chose to fight. But then how God is constantly calling you to be a freedom fighter. Because if you're not fighting for freedom, then what are you fighting for? What is your purpose here in life? So, thank you, brother. I needed that encouragement. So here, freedom comes in many forms. And we've talked a little bit about it. We have our state representative, a strong man of faith, and I respect them. We have political freedom. We have religious freedom. We have spiritual freedom, at least for now. Because that way we can come up here and we can talk about these things, these issues at hand. And back in the day, when we're talking about the King of England, he was oppressing all these people. People didn't have the liberty. They didn't have the freedom of rights and the religion and the speech and the taxation without representative. And we talk a little bit about that. And literally, it got to the point that the king could hang you because you disagreed with his policies. Because what did he call that? Treason, right? It was treason. I'm reading here and I'm thinking about, well, what does it cause? What does it take for Americans to stand up and fight? So because a long time ago, there was this thing called an American Revolution, right? It's nothing new. And so there's an American Revolution, and our forefathers understood the power of faith, especially to their cause. And my question to you today is, do you understand? Do you understand the power of faith in your cause? All weekend we've been talking about men of faith, saying that you have to stand up, you have to rise, you have to take your ground, you have to fend off the enemy. The forefathers knew the power of faith, especially in their cause. John Adams said in 1776, "I sometimes tremble to think that although we are engaged in the best cause that ever employed the human heart, yet the prospect of success is doubtful. Not for want of power or wisdom, but of what? Virtue. It wasn't just tyranny physically, it was tyranny spiritually. So here we are. There was this fight, and it was crazy, but here's the deal. They depended on God, and they trusted him, and they chose to fight because they knew it was a righteous cause, and it was a cause not just worth fighting for, but worth what? Dying for. We are learning something this weekend. So, all of a sudden there's this Declaration of Independence and it's ratified on the 4th of July, 1775. Now, I want to emphasize on this. God is described in four ways. And don't you ever forget this. He's described as the author, the creator, the judge, and one with providence. Now, that's my God. You know what I'm saying? Is that the same God that you have? Because last time I checked, that's God. And so, the document declares that our freedoms are a gift of God, that our Creator grants them. Now, this is not new news to you, but it might be something that needs to ring in your ear, particularly this weekend, yes? So, today we celebrate the 4th as free men and women. We have the freedom of religion. Right now, we do. And I'm here to tell you this. That's why I'm here this morning, or this evening. No one can tell me what to do, when to do it, and how to worship. And nobody's going to tell me as long as I live. And you could put that in the newspapers. That's my right to worship my God. And we can gather together to read God's war manual, aka the Bible. For those of you that don't like that title, I apologize. But last time I checked, 66 different books, 40 plus different authors, starting from Genesis, there's actually a war from the very beginning. And the war is against good and evil. So, I call it God's war manual because I learned a lot about strategy and tactics all throughout. America is the freest country that I have ever known. I have traveled all of the world. I have gone to the most dangerous places in all of the world. I can even claim that at one point in time, I went into the most dangerous place in Afghanistan, and I saw what tyranny was all about. I saw what death was about. I know it, and I've experienced it. I've traveled the world, and America is the greatest country in the world. So, what will you do with your freedom? I'm not that old, but I've been old enough to know when I'm looking around and we're all concerned about what's happening in the world, Afghanistan, Iraq, and the Middle East, we have terrorist attacks in Europe, and there's plots happening all the time in America. For those of you that don't think that that's happening, it's the truth. We will literally raid. We will find some bad guys, and there'll be plans there on how to attack New York or Florida or Texas. And these are just examples, no specifics. And so I'm looking around, and I see what's happening. I'm not afraid to say that our previous president, Obama, and that's okay. I'm an active duty guy, and I'm just telling you the truth. He declared our country to be a non-Christian nation. And that's just a fact. So now, a lot of people, I'm going to veer off for a second here, and a lot of people are so concerned about it. And you know what? Rightfully, you should. And I could look to the north, and I could look to the south, and I could look to the west, I could look to the east, I could look all around, and I've got unbelievers all over the place. And many people, they're afraid because of it. But I tell you this, and let this resonate with you, that if that's the case, then you have the greatest opportunity throughout your whole life to bring the gospel, the hope, the message of hope and purpose to a lost and broken world. You have surrounded by unbelievers, and you have an opportunity to bring them a salvation message. Amen. So don't you forget that. I'm looking at this community, and look at you, gathering together for one God, one nation under God. Are you not fervent believers? Or is it just talk? Is it just hanging out in your Christian community and keeping everybody else at bay? Because God didn't call you to do that. Now, I'll tell you this, I'm a little jealous. I was talking to my wife, and I go, why don't we live here? I'm not kidding. Look at those kids. My wife goes, honey, look at all those children over there. They're all playing, and nobody's worried about them. Praise God. And obviously, something good is happening here, that God would have a hedge of protection that you could gather together like this. But it's something the enemy would recognize. So maybe I might be moving here. I could rest a little bit with these gorgeous mountains, God's creation, going back to my notes. But I will be honest, I'm a little concerned. And I'm looking across the nation. I told you, I travel across the nation speaking. And I am concerned on how families are being divided. Every year, whatever, 50% of these marriages in the first year are concluding to a divorce. And the divorce rate is higher for subsequent marriages. You got single families. And I'm particularly, my heart goes out to single families, single mothers in particular, because I was raised by a single mother. I didn't have a father. My biological father was a loser. We'll leave it at that. I have prayed for him and I have forgiven him, just so you know, JJ. He hurt my family bad. Physically, psychologically, and spiritually. But here's the deal. About 80% children, 80% will actually experience being raised by a single mother. That's crazy to me. And how are you young men and women shaping your philosophy? Ravi Zacharias said it right. It is the arts. That's how the enemy is teaching the children. It's through the movies and through the films and TV and anything that they're entertained. And this piece, this advice right here, this right here. Now, let me explain something to you. This in itself isn't evil. What's evil is coming through it. I'll be honest with you. I don't even look at anything. I don't watch much TV. It's not because I don't want to be exposed. I don't have time because I'd rather be preaching here. Okay. But you have to watch out. This is what's shaping these young minds, the social media, the Facebook, the Instagrams, the Snapchats. And you have these, you know what really scares me? Teen shootings. Shootings at school. That's mind-blowing to me. And then I was reading and I was hanging out with a good buddy of mine who's with the FBI. And he was telling me about how they come up with these games now. It's called the knockout game, where these gangbangers just come up to a young lady. And he just socks her, knocks her out. And she's worth a certain amount of points. And you know who's worth more? An elderly lady. let me tell you something. If I saw that, I would choke that guy out. And that would be the only thing I'll say publicly. I might give him a little that while he's on the ground. No big deal. It would be righteous, wouldn't it, JJ? And then you have these racial wars, these riots and the cop killing, you know, and all these things. And they're trying to take out God out of everything. And you don't even have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. God help you. You don't stand for my flag when the allegiance is happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I don't know what's going on. But you see how the enemy is working. So you're either a part of the problem or part of the solution. And the war is on our soil. The enemy is ambushing men and attacking our families and destroying our nation. So this is the verse for you. This is the verse for you. Take this home, put it in your pocket, and then open it back up tonight when you go to sleep. And hopefully it'll be there when you wake up in the morning. Psalm 144, verse 1. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." So God's strategy is to build the man, to build the family, and then to build the nation. Do you see the methodology behind that? It begins with you, sir. And then it builds to the family. And then that's how we strengthen the nation. That's instrumental. And I don't know about you, but I will say this. It's time to say that I'm done with this. That I'm done with all of this. I want my God. And I want my country. And I want my liberty. And I want it. One nation under God. Are you with me? Now, I will tell you, as an American veteran, active duty, I have the right to say that. And I'm not going to capitulate because I have the right under the Constitution to say that. Amen. Amen to you, brother. So here we are. It's interesting that you said this, JJ, and it's interesting that our state representative said the same thing. Because the first lesson in life that I'd like to, I call them life lessons or lessons learned, is that you have to declare war against the enemy. It's an aggressive, relentless engagement against the enemy. You have to count the cost. I love the way it was mentioned yesterday. Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu. So for some of you that don't know who he is, he was a famous military general, a strategist, a tactician who's attributed to writing the Art of War. There are a lot of great quotes, but this is the one I want for you. Listen to this, men. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to the war first and then seek to win. You understand the difference? Victorious warriors win first and then go to war. Do you know what's happening? You're conducting your research, you're getting prepared, and you're counting the cost, and you're going to train like you're going to fight. Let me just stray away from my notes for a moment. I find it very interesting. I have a couple of really good friends. I'm in special operations. I like my weapons. I have my own ammo. I won't tell you how much. It would make you jealous, sir. I have my own equipment. If the zombie apocalypse comes, I think I can hold my ground. And I got teammates, and we got little plans, little standard operating procedures. I won't get into the specifics. I don't want to reveal what's going on, all right?
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. If you're just tuning in late or just joining us, what you're listening to is the second part of the speech from Saturday night, July 2nd, at the God and Country Celebration by Damon Friedman. If you want to learn more about his ministry, then go to SOFmissions.com. That's SOFmissions.com. They just released a new video, and you can watch a sneak peek to that. They've got lots of tools to really reach out and help the hurting veteran in your life. If you have somebody in your life that's dealing with some things and they need to get put back on track, they need to be rescued, and the server needs to be served, the service member, rather. And this is just a great, great ministry. So it's called SOFmissions.com. And he's truly a warrior, and he's a Christian warrior. It's great to listen to him. So sit back and listen to the rest.
But, you know, I find it interesting. I have a good friend. He's got about 100 weapons. Really beautiful, too. He's got these LaRue rifles, and he's got these, you know, FN, the Belgium company. Are you familiar with these weapons? They're very expensive, right? And he's just got all these amazing rifles. And I remember picking up that LaRue, and I'm like, wow, this is a very expensive. And he had the 7.62. So for those of you, that's like $3,000. And I'm sitting there, and I'm touching it, you know, and I'm just like, this is a rifle, you know. I was a prior Marine first, and the first thing that the Marine Corps did was give me an M16A2. I had to sleep with her, and I had to name her. So I have a particular affinity to rifles. And I had to talk to her while I was just that long-range round, and I was talking to her like, Susie Q, please, baby. And I would slightly press that trigger, boom, right through that bullseye. Susie Q and I were tight. For you ladies that think I'm crazy, I apologize, but this is the way it is. So I'm sitting there and I'm touching his LaRue, and I couldn't help but notice it, but it looked like it was brand new. And I touched another rifle, and I was looking down and to the chamber and the bolt and everything, and it was brand new. And I was one rifle after another. He had tricked out Glock 19s. I mean, he had all these great 1911s and these Springfields and these Colts. And I couldn't help but notice. I said, have you ever shot any of these? Well, I shot that gun once. What are you talking about? And then I open up his safe. He has so many weapons, he couldn't even put them all in the safe. And then I look around and I walk into the closet, and he probably has about 35,000 rounds. Trust me, I got tempted too. I almost put some in here, you know what I'm saying? He wouldn't notice. He had all this, and then he had like 30 NBC masks. Do you know what that is? NBC, nuclear, biological, chemical. All these masks. Let me tell you something, friends. The zombie apocalypse comes, he ain't going to be able to defend his position. Do you know why? Because he's never trained for the war. And if you're not trained, it doesn't matter what sexy weapons you have, and you have 10 years, he literally has 10 years worth of food. Come on, man, how are you going to defend that food? Right? What, you going to pick up this rifle for the first time, aim and close your eyes and pray? Look, brother, that's not the time to be praying. Okay, that's not the way God works, my friend. That's just my two cents. What God wants us to do is this. When I'm getting ready for a mission and I know 6 months down the line I'm going to train, I'm going through these shooting schools where I'm shooting 10,000 rounds through my 5.56 in my rifle. I'm shooting 10,000 rounds through my sidearm, my pistol. I'm using my night vision goggles. I'm using my radios, and I'm talking through satellites and all these aircraft, and I'm using my laser. Oh yeah, I got a laser. Yeah, it looks just like Luke, you know, like Luke Skywalker's. Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's awesome. I have all of these weapons. I have a bandolier, and I love my M79 rocket, 40-millimeter rocket grenade launcher. You ever watch The Terminator? You've never watched The Terminator? Shame on you, son. I'll talk to your father after this. But you've got the M79. It's Russian, and I sling it over my shoulder. He's like, you know, I'll be back. You know, he's blowing it. I got one of those. I do. I'm not lying. Don't be jealous, friend. And I'm training with all of these. Why? Because when the moment of truth comes, I'm going to execute. And I'm going to be flawless. And it'll be like clockwork. 1, 2, 3, 4, boom. Every time. Every single time. And I'm going to go into combat with absolute confidence. And I'm not going to fail. Because I've shot 10,000 rounds through my 5.56, 10,000 rounds through my 9mm. And I'm here to tell you that when I press that trigger, that round is going 2 in the chest and 1 in the head. Sorry. That's the way you shoot. Can I get an amen on that, men? I'm not going to be afraid. So you have to train full mission profile with the weapons and the helmet and the vest. Now, why am I telling you that? Am I just trying to train these young men and, you know, for war? No, I don't want you to do that right now. What I want you to understand is the parallels on how you train physically and how you should train spiritually. My brother today, he talked about Ephesians chapter 6, how our struggle is against the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces, and our protection is the whole armor of God. The weapons, the word and the prayer, and our team is like, we're believers, we fellowship and we combat together. You know, it makes me so sick how people just say the whole armor of God like it's rhetoric. Man, you don't even understand what the whole armor of God is all about. Let me just shed a little light on this real quick, okay? When we're sitting here, and I'm looking back at one of the biggest gunslingers in history, I'm looking at my brother, Apostle Paul. I don't know if you know this, but he kind of rolled with the retinue. You know, you've got the spirit, you know, the special forces, like my brother over there, who was an echo communications expert. Well, it's the same way with Paul. He was the spiritual forces team leader. And he was rolling around with a retinue, a bad to the bone gunslingers. You might want to read about him at the end of Colossians in chapter 4, but that's for another time. And he's sitting there, and I knew when I'm reading it that Paul knew without a shadow of a doubt that the armor of God protecting him and the power of prayer combating the enemy, he was weak. We're no match against the powers of the darkness, but with God we can overcome. And God gives us spiritual forces weapons. And I'm going to just brush up on a few, but then I'm going to really focus on team. The word of God. And we see the ultimate, the commander of the universe, Jesus, not only defending his position using what? The word of God. When he goes into the wilderness and the enemy attacks him not once, not twice, but how many times? Thank you. I appreciate your help. And what does he do? He defends his position with the word of God. Let me tell you something, the word of God, that this Bible is like my primary weapon. And when the enemy comes, I defend my position like it's, and I use the word of God like my primary weapon. And then you have prayer. And you know, I'm a dude, I'm a guy. And I will tell you that with men, for me, I have found that the hardest thing to do is pray. I don't know what my deal is. Maybe I just try to do everything on my own. Do you have a hard time praying sometimes? Do you have a hard time remembering the power of prayer? Because here's the deal. Last time I checked, prayer moves mountains, right? Like literally, like God can do whatever it is that he wants. And when you send up a prayer, it's literally, it's like getting on your comms and you're calling higher and you're calling Trinity and he's bringing in these angels like A-10s and F-15s and F-18s and they're coming in and they're gunning down the target. And that's actually what's happening. We can't really see it, but it's happening. And that's the way God works. You see it in the scriptures from the beginning to today. How many of you have ever witnessed a miracle? How many? Raise your hand. Is that not truth? What is a miracle? A miracle is something you and I can't explain. A miracle happened when I was faced with hundreds of Taliban, and all I had was my little pea shooter. 30 rounds. And 100 Taliban. Now, how in the world am I going to take out 100 Taliban with a magazine of 30? You tell me. But you know, it's so amazing how we, all of a sudden we change. You know, some people go, Damon, you are radical. Maybe I'm radical because the God of the universe intervened. He literally stopped time and all of a sudden he changes everything and he destroys my enemy. And I can't really explain what happened. But all I know is that 100 Taliban end up dead. See, God does certain things, and all I did was pray. It had nothing to do with my skills. It had nothing to do with all my training. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do that I was crying out to God, saying, I know you're the commander of the universe, and I'm going to surrender to you today, knowing full well that if I'm going to survive, I need you to come in. I need you to come in and I need you to bring down the fire and destroy this enemy, because other than that, I'm dead today. And that's what he did. And so if you think I'm a little crazy for Jesus, that's why. I want to talk about my Spartans, the shield. I don't know if you're familiar with Sparta, but how many of you men have watched 300? Raise your hand. Look, I get it. The dudes were running around without a chest plate. That did not happen, okay? That was all movie. But man, they all had 12 packs. How is that possible? I never saw a 12 pack until I saw 300. But you know what? It was interesting, the way the Spartans fight. And I don't know, I think I'm a little enamored with Spartans, because the average Spartan was 5'6 and 150 pounds. I don't know. I might relate. I'm a little taller and I got a little bit more weight on that, but those little Spartans were bad to the bone. So don't ever use your size for a reason why you can't take somebody out. You understand me? All right. Thank you. You got some encouragement there. But we're going to talk about the shield. The shield of faith. You know what the shield was used in Sparta? The shield had three purposes. Three, not one. When I ask people, why do they use the shield? They used the shield, one, to defend their position. So when the enemy would come, they would defend their position. But that's not the unique purpose of the shield. A unique purpose of the shield was the second reason. As the men, as they put shield upon shield, they protected the brother next to them. But it didn't end there. There was one more purpose. When the enemy got close, the thrust, the blow. Literally, the enemy got so close that it would shatter their skulls, it would destroy their ankles. That when the enemy would get close, that you would have the shield of faith to defend your position and to attack the enemy, to hold your ground, and to destroy them. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Who wants a Spartan shield? I do. I want one right now. Are you giving me a time limit? No. I don't think so, brother. I don't think so. And so that's what we are as teammates. We're God's wrecking crew. We're a team. In special forces, you have unique capabilities. You have the Alpha, you got the team leader, the Bravo, which is a weapons expert, the Charlie, which is the engineer, the Delta, which is the medic, the Echo, which is a communications expert, the Foxtrot that does intel, and then the Zulu that's the team sergeant. What does that mean? That means that every person here has a gift and a talent, and you have a team to fight on. Not everybody's going to be a Paul. You have Barnabas, and you have all these other guys that I talked about. Luke, John Mark, Tychicus, Epaphras, and all sorts of other dudes. Epaphroditus. All these other people that he rolled with. You have a gift. Figure out what that is and employ your skills against the enemy. Unite together as a team and don't be afraid of them. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now here's the deal. I talked a lot about heart yesterday. A lot about heart. One of my favorite verses is 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking for men who are faithful to him. And you know, you see this in incredible warriors in faith like Peter and David and Elijah. I mean, the majority of these guys are nobody. They just showed up. They just showed up. God is in the business of using these no ones. Now look, I couldn't go throughout this message without talking about my favorite character in the Bible, Elijah. What I love about Elijah is this. This guy, again, nobody. He doesn't have a lineage. Nobody knows about his parents. He was just some Tishbite from Gilead. He was some wild, obscure place in the mountains. Does that sound familiar? But it says here that he was a normal person, that he dealt with the issues like you and I, the challenges. In James 5:17, it said that he experienced the same fear, the same anxieties, the same concerns, the same like you and I. And I love about his, because the Bible, it just shares, it's so transparent, his humanity. And then all of a sudden, like, we just know that the guy is called up. He gets the mission of a lifetime. And Elijah enters center stage during a time of tyranny. Now, here you have King Ahab and Jezebel. Young men, listen to me. Young men, do you know any girls by the name of Jezebel? Because if you do, run away. Run away. There's actually women and girls that call themselves Jezebel in this nation. Run away. Okay? All right, write that down, big dog. So you have the leadership, and they're leading the nation of Israel astray. And they're guilty of violating every command that I could possibly think of in God's law. Bloodshed, immorality, idolatry. And God calls men in times of tyranny. You know that? He always calls men of valor in times of tyranny. God doesn't forget who we are. And it was bad then. And if it gets bad now, always know that God is faithful. So don't be afraid. At this point in time, Elijah thought he was the only one, but that wasn't the truth. There was a ton of other prophets for God hiding out in the caves. But notice, they were hiding out in the caves. And this one gets the call. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it. All I know is two things that happen. One is that he goes before the king, and he becomes the oracle of doom. You guys know the story. He says everything's going to die, and then all of a sudden he becomes the most wanted man in the nation. Something is going on in this guy's life that God would use him in such a way. And it's time after time after time, God gives him a mission and he fulfills it. He's faithful to it. And then God gives him a follow-on mission. And then he goes to Cherith and he goes to Zarephath. And then all of a sudden, he's called to have the mission of a lifetime. And there he is. And he does this. Listen to me on this. He goes up before the leadership of the nation. And he has the audacity, the absolute audacity to go before the king. And he says this, and this is the way I imagine it, Damon Friedman style. He's looking at the king and he goes, he's drawing that line. Your God against my God. There's a duel that's going to happen, because here's the deal. The real God is going to show up. Time out. You know what? I don't care about what's happening out there. I don't care. If somebody wants to be a Muslim, let them be a Muslim. If they want to be a Zoroastrian, let them be a Zoroastrian. If they want to be a Buddhist, let them be a Buddhist. If they want to be a whatever. If they want to be an extreme terrorist, they're just going to die. JJ's on my side. Hey, that's righteous. Just don't come looking for this town, right? The reason why I say that is this. Because the real God will show up. Have the absolute confidence in God. God is changing and transforming hearts all around the world. And God is looking for one faithful steward in the darkness, tending his sheep, doing God's work. Nobody else sees it, but the eyes of the Lord are looking throughout that whole earth for one, so that he would exude the strength into that person to change and transform the world. We're always talking about how unique these disciples were, how unique these apostles were. Let me tell you something. There's nothing unique about them except that God was on their side. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So here you are, your God against my God. And so you know the story. All these other, prophets from Baal, they're sitting there and they're trying to call down fire down from the sky. Come on, man. We're talking about fire from the sky. Hello. Really? Are you that much? Are you that crazy? And so there they are. And Elijah goes, come on, check out. I don't know. And it says literally, right? Your God must be either sleeping or he's on vacation or he must be using the restroom. He's definitely not here. He's like, just move away. And then all of a sudden, he's like, the real God show up. And then all of a sudden, fire comes down from the sky. Time out. Fire comes down from the sky. Hello? Can you imagine how it was like that fire would come down from the heavenly zone and would consume that offering? That was bad to the bone. Now, God is in the business of using people like you and like me for his glory. If you don't think you're strong enough, fast enough, if you don't think you're gifted, if you think that you're no one, perfect. You're the one that God can use. Because it is the pride of life. It stinks in the nostrils of God. John the Baptist said this, John 3:30, for he must increase, but I must decrease. There's got to be more of him and less of me if God is ever going to work in my life. And that's why Jesus said, give all of your heart. Heart! Where is the heart? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is what's very interesting. And remember this, that after he brings fire down from the sky, Elijah gives a particular instruction. He tells, seize all the false prophets and slaughter them. Now I'm going to tell you something, and this is my quote. In combat, you can't just take the enemy down. You have to take him out. If there's anything in your life that you're allowing to infiltrate behind your friendly forces, your fire base, if you're going to allow the enemy to divide your family, you've got to kill it. Matt Chandler said it straight. If there's a lion that comes in that's seeking to devour you, and it comes into your house, you've got to grab that lion, and you've got to wrestle that lion down, you've got to grab that gun, and you've got to kill it right then and there. Although that sounds kind of graphic, what are you supposed to do with sin that comes in and destroys your family? You got to kill it. And I'm not trying to be graphic and violent, but it's what you have to do with sin. Because if you allow it to come into your life, it will destroy you. Do you know how many men of God have not finished strong? I am so sick and tired of our leaders, our church leaders, men that God has gifted, and they have thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people following them, and then they fall to immorality. What did you do? Look, I'm a human just like him. I'm not judging him. All I'm saying is this. You get one shot, my friends. You mess that up. It's on you. I've never seen a brother who gets all these gifts and all this opportunity, and God is glorified through them, and then they fall, that they get a second chance. So you have to develop, you have to get your fire base, and you got to keep the enemy at bay. You use that fire base, like here, to regenerate. Because this is the redoubt, right? And then when you're done, you know, getting all spruced up and energized, you go out there! Because there's 7 billion people in the whole world, and they needed Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? So, Elijah took a stand then, and so we must take a stand now, and we can do it through the power. Now I'm going to say something, okay? I got a lot more to say. I'm not going to, because I know I'm very punctual. Remember, it's time on target with the bombs, okay, big dog? God's power. You have the power to make a difference. In Acts 1:8, Jesus promised you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now I'm going to say something. Back in the day in first century, only kings and emperors had any power. You were either born into it or you obtained it by the sword. And disciples were common people. They had no power. To them, when Jesus said this, it was perplexing to them because they figured, well, we're going to get some type of financial power, some type of political power, or some type of military power. But that was not the case. Because Jesus, the word of God says very clearly, not by might or by power, but by my spirit. Now listen to this. In Acts 17:6, it says that these men who have turned the world upside down, who have come here also. Back then, in the first century, when you really read the documents, I don't know if you have any history buffs here that really went into the first century, but let me tell you how radical these dudes were. People were so afraid of these disciples because they were. It wasn't just propaganda. Oh, look, just tell all these people that all these people are becoming followers and all these miracles are happening. Just tell people. No. The world, the population out there witnessed the powerful miracles of God through these ordinary people. And literally, if you're a person with a position of power or authority of any kind at all, and you were not a Jesus follower, you were scared out of your stinking mind. And literally, the disciples did this. See this line? You're either for or you're against. Choose today who you will serve. That was real. Acts 17:6. You can read all sorts of hundreds, if not thousands, of documents that are not from the Christian faith. The Syrians, the Egyptians, the Jews, there's tons of all of this data, and there's people saying, I witnessed these miracles, these guys were troublemakers, they were doing all this crazy stuff. It's not just rhetoric, it's not just propaganda, it's truth. Now let me ask you something. Do you think that God could change and transform the world the way that they did back in the first century today? Do you? Because I do. My God can do anything. Last time I checked, he owned it all. And it's not just talk. These men have turned the world upside down. Now I'm going to say this. I'm going to say something here. You know what? In John 1:5, it says something. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you think that your calling was to hang out in this small slice of paradise and do nothing else for the kingdom, you are absolutely wrong. And I feel absolutely confident down to the core of my soul that that's truth. You guys are so blessed. My wife saw yesterday, I've never seen this. Never seen this. There was sun everywhere. And there was two people. They weren't even elderly. They were just a mom and a dad. And they were asking where they can sit. And all of a sudden, these young boys that were not related grabbed a bunch of those chairs and they started setting them out. Now you guys must be doing something right. I'm going to tell you something. I used to complain like a baby. God, why? I'm in this military. Everybody hates God. Nobody wants to hear from you about your Jesus. I don't know anybody to have a Bible study with. Everybody wants to go to these bars and get drunk and hang out with chicks and go off with them. I'm all by myself. Blah, 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 blah. Till one day I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, just shut up. So if you're a complainer, because here's the deal. Have you ever thought, and this is what happened with me, and Allison's like, look, you're properly trained. I've been training you for years, and I have chosen you to be in that dark, dark place because you are the only light that your brothers in arms will ever experience. You are the witness. You are the one. So ask yourself, where's your calling? Because it's not to hang out here and hang out with just your Christian community. Look, I tell you, I'm moving here, okay? This is a place to train. This is where you grow strong spiritually. This is where we encourage each other. And then you go out and figure out what your mission is. And when you get beat up a little bit, come right back here. There's a thing called a go bag. Every time we go into war, there's this big bag. And it's got all sorts. It's got like 50 magazines. It's got like 15 grenades. It's got a bunch of 40 millimeters. And it's got all sorts of cool stuff. And we leave it in the Humvee. And when we're out there and we're shooting, 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 shooting. And I run out of all my magazines. And I carry like 6 racked and stacked. Right, JJ? And we're just shooting around. And I run out. I get back to my go bag. I start filling it all back. Boom, 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 boom. And then once I'm ready, maybe get a swig of water. And then boom, I'm back into the fight. This is the place where you replenish your goods. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Do not be afraid. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, do not be afraid, for I have called you by name. You are mine. God bless you guys. Take it easy. Thank you.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
And this is the fourth and final segment, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com to learn how you can make the most use out of your property. And you can even use one of their services is to walk the property with you before you even buy it, to consider things maybe you had not thought of before. And they will try to help you identify your goals and help you meet those goals so that you, your property meets all the requirements for sustainability, for defensibility, to make sure that that's going to work for you. Great folks over at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now let's talk about Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2017, also known as T-Rex 2017. It is a nationwide disaster preparedness exercise. It is a scenario-based exercise. And it is an annual exercise. This year it's going to be taking place Friday, Saturday, Sunday, August 11th, 12th, and 13th. So you need to be checking amron.com starting this week. More and more details are going to start going up. That's going to help guide you in taking care of that. What you should have been doing to prepare for it all along is getting your comms up. Regardless of what the scenario is, or what the dates are, or what the exercise is, you should be continuously building those communications, disaster emergency communications skills. So when conventional communications fail, you can still stay informed and inform others. But this exercise is going to be an earthquake-based exercise. There will be, first of all, a massive catastrophic earthquake that will take place off the Pacific coast, the Cascadia subduction zone, which scientists are saying is going to break free at some point. It could happen at any time, or it could be 50 years from now, but they say it's coming. So we need to prepare for it. The government is trying to prepare for it as much as they can. As a network of emergency communications specialists, we need to be training for it as well, especially since we have so many AMRON operators in the impacted area. The other one that they're expecting, the big one to happen at some point, is the New Madrid fault line. We are going to combine those two earthquakes just a few hours apart so that the New Madrid subduction zone breaks free in central United States around eastern Missouri. So we want to create an environment where nationwide conventional services and power and communications fail to give us as an excuse to get on the air and conduct a nationwide preparedness network training exercise. So that's how that's working. Now, how do you, the average Joe, how do you participate? First of all, if you do not have communications, you're not an amateur radio operator, but you understand the need to stay informed. So you're just not quite ready to make that plunge and become an amateur radio operator. Fine. There are several ways that you can listen. If you have AMRON operators in your area, or for any emergency situation, whether you have AMRON members around you, you still have ham radio operators around you. You have police, you have fire, you have government services that will be talking to each other on radios. For local communications monitoring, you need to invest in a good quality scanner. Now, they can be very expensive, $400, $500 for those that decode P25 decoding, which is what a lot of our emergency services use to listen in. But for $20 at a pawn shop, or $100 for a brand new one, you can get one that does not decode P25 and have a local scanner where you can listen to, program and listen to your local ham operators who are sharing information, your local businesses that are talking to each other, tow truck companies and so on, are communicating. And you need to be able to listen for your situational awareness, what's going on. And also, a lot of emergency services do what is called simulcasting. Even though they use P25 encoding, which you cannot listen to because it's digitalized, you cannot hear that unless you have a P25 decoding scanner. You can still tune in and listen on a regular analog scanner because a lot of them simulcast. So they will transmit both on the encoded P25 on one frequency, and they will transmit analog on another frequency. And those frequencies are usually made available for you to listen to your local police, fire, ambulance, and so on. That's local communications. For long-range communications, for stuff happening around your region and AM radio, commercial radio as well, for those that are still operational, and across the country, you need a shortwave radio with single sideband capabilities, and also known as SSB. And if you have the Amaron SOI, you'll be able to tune in and know exactly what frequency and mode to listen to. We do a lot of digital communication stuff. And if digital communications is new to you, similar to sending a fax, but only over the radio, there are ways that you can do this very inexpensively. In fact, the software for this is free. And there are several articles. If you go to Amaron.com and type in the search box digital, you'll see a whole bunch of articles there with screenshots that will take you through step by step setting up to receive digital communications, even with a shortwave radio. You do not have to be licensed to receive that stuff. Now, if you are an Amaron member and you're saying, all right, I'm in Amaron, I didn't volunteer and step up to be a initiating station or a signals center operator, so how do I participate? It's real simple. On Friday, well, check Amaron.com because your answers will be there as these postings are put up, and those are coming out this week. But real simple, I'll just tell you. On Friday, August 11th, get out your signals operating instructions, get your radio out, and tune in on time, on frequency, on the mode for that time, and listen in. And then you practice your disaster preparedness plan with your family, with your group, with your church, with your preparedness network, wherever you are, your militia, whatever it is. What if this were real? How would we get information? Well, you guys can practice your disaster bug out plan, your emergency generator plan, cooking food that you have stored up, cooking with fuel and equipment that is unconventional, not what you use normally every day. You basically put your disaster preparedness plan to the test. Flip the light switch off that weekend. And, unless you need to keep freezers running or something like that, but otherwise don't use it, and haul your water or treat your water and see how well you do. Find the gaps in your plan so you can fix them. And if you've got a gap in your communications plan where you say, well, we couldn't participate because we had no way of knowing what was going on because we don't have radios. Well, you need to overcome that because those situation reports will be flowing and they're going to be in the air all around you for you to reach up and snatch and pull down if you have the right equipment and if you've trained in advance. So that's what this is all about, is training. So you get out your SOI, you tune in, you listen to what's going on, you gather as much as you can, you make improvements between now and then so that you can increase your capabilities. It is fully expected, and we're seeing it now, the 20-meter band, which is what we usually use for long-distance communications, is toast. It is not usable, and it's not expected to get better for the foreseeable future, which means we'll be making short hops, 400 to 600 miles, from one operator to the next to bounce a message across the United States. If you are in Washington State and you need to get a message to Florida, you're going to have to depend on relays to get that message, that traffic passed. And so one of the best things you could do for yourself is to regularly practice in the regularly scheduled Amron nets. And from the scheduled nets tab, you'll see the drop down, and there are nets going on all the time. Amron has grown so much. We are just overwhelmed, really, with how much it's grown. So we're going through growing pains right now. It's a lot to deal with and process, but we're doing it and we're training, and we urge you to as well. Okay, that's all I've got, guys. Check Amron.com for more information about the Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise of 2017. And keep your prayers, your emails of encouragement and ideas coming, and also keep your testimonials coming. We've got a couple here that I wasn't able to get to tonight, but we are going to share those with you. So have a blessed week. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.